This is Healthy Rounds with Dr. Anthony Alessi. Sponsored by Hartford Healthcare, Rochford Eye Center, St. Francis Hospital, Covaris, and Yukon Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Healthy Rounds provides general information regarding medical conditions and diseases. The information is not intended to create a doctor-patient relationship. You're encouraged to consult your own medical provider for advice that applies to your own medical care. And now, Dr. Anthony Alessi on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Welcome to Healthy Rounds, the show that provides you with up-to-date medical information and answers all of your health questions. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi, and it's great to be with you on this Saturday morning as we rapidly approach the holiday season. And I'm assuming many people are preparing for the holidays, either with travel or cooking and last-minute purchases. But today, I want to talk a little bit about a different topic. Now, often we address topics that are germane to women's health, men's health, but today's a little bit different. So our guest today is going to be Dr. Catherine Coyner. Dr. Coyner is an associate professor of orthopedic surgery at the University of Connecticut. She's also a team physician for UConn. And we're going to talk to her in a role as co-director of the Women's Center for Motion and Performance at the University of Connecticut, and specifically how this program addresses injuries and fitness in women. And she's the co-director along with Dr. Allison Schaefer, who is the interim head team physician for all of UConn sports. So many of us spend a lot of our time watching UConn sports and athletics. These are the doctors who take care of the athletes. So why not take that same expertise and extend it to the community? So in the second half of today's program, we're going to be chatting with Dr. Coyner about this new and exciting program and who best fits into it and how you reach out to her and her colleagues for care, especially if you are a female athlete, a runner, or someone who participates in other activities and athletic activities, or someone who just wants to get back into shape. This day in medicine, December 21st, 1967, Louis Washansky was the first human heart transplant patient, and he passed away on this day in 1967. And when I read that, you know, it really brought to mind for many of us who were alive back then, you know, and how that was the headline, was having an open heart transplant, a heart transplant done in South Africa, and how Mr. Washansky was able to live for a short period of time with another heart, with a heart transplant. And now they're done almost commonplace in many respects at many big institutions, like here in Connecticut, where all our institutions are equipped to do that. And it's interesting because it's the heart, right? We equate that with being so special, even from a symbolic standpoint. I was watching something on TV, a documentary about a hockey player, Henrik Lundqvist. He was a goalie for the New York Rangers. And here he is at the top of his career. I mean, this is the most fit person. And he developed a cardiac problem, a valve problem that required open heart surgery. So it's not something that, well, I'm too young to have this, or I'm in too great a shape to have it. So cardiac conditions can affect everyone. And that's why it's important as we come up on the new year to really get our regularly scheduled visits and evaluations. He was a professional athlete, and actually they picked it up when he was being traded to another team and had to go through an intense physical. So again, those physical examinations that we should be getting every year are crucial. The next topic I wanted to bring up is something that we've talked about on the program before, and that is the rising cost of medications in the United States. Americans spend, on average, $1,432 a year on medication. This is something unheard of in other countries, right? Because of socialized medicine, where they put their health care dollars. And one in three people in this country cannot take the medications they're supposed to be taking due to the cost. That is crazy, right? So people are delaying. They're cutting the pills in half, or instead of taking it every day, they're taking it every other day, or in many cases, just not taking the medication. And so what they looked at in neurology, they looked at five common conditions. They looked at 500,000 individuals from 2012 to 2021. So the common conditions they looked at in this neurology article were epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, peripheral neuropathy, and dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. So in looking at those five conditions, some of the things they found were astounding. For example, the medications we use to treat multiple sclerosis, the out-of-pocket costs, we're not talking about the whole cost, and these are medications, these are monoclonal antibodies, these are sophisticated medications. But what they do is they help people get control of their disease and continue to be productive, continue to go to work. Heck, some of them are playing professional sports. But these people, these MS drugs, out-of-pocket costs rose annually, every year, annually, an average of 217%. That is just the out-of-pocket cost. So again, we need to get control just in that situation. For brand name epilepsy medications, they had much higher out-of-pocket costs than the generics. Now, this is a slippery slope because in some cases, the generics for epilepsy are not the same as the brand name. So epileptologists and neurologists who treat epilepsy, you know that when someone has to switch from the brand name to the generic, you need to monitor their blood levels to make sure they're getting the full amount of the drug. Basically, the conclusion to this article is, once again, impressing on us the need for policy solutions, healthcare policy solutions, really to cap the out-of-pocket costs for life-saving medications. There has to be a limit as to what someone needs to take out of their pocket to pay for these. So again, these rising drug prices are astounding when you think of drugs that keep people productive and keep them working and keep them paying taxes and supporting their family, having to go up just out of pocket 217% every year. So as a nation, we need to get real control of that. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a short break. Then I'm going to be back. We're going to talk a little bit about sciatica. I've had several questions about that come up and patients coming up. So we're going to talk a little bit about sciatica, which is kind of a general term. But it's specifics, when we want to get down to the specifics, how it's best treated, how it's diagnosed, because we see a lot more of it this time of year. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080. We're back on Healthy Rounds. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi, and it's great to be with you on this Saturday morning. If you have questions for me, we will take live questions at info@alessimd.com. So if you have questions regarding women's orthopedic injuries when Dr. Koiner joins us, or any other general questions, I'm happy to take them. And if I don't answer them on the show, we'll get back to you with an email. One of the things I wanted to talk about was a recent article talking about peripheral neuropathy. As many of you are familiar with, peripheral neuropathy is a sometimes painful condition affecting the peripheral nerves in your hands and feet. Commonly seen in people with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, as well as people who have used excessive alcohol over the course of their lives. You also see it for many other reasons. Vitamin B12 deficiency will cause it. You can see it with thyroid disease. You can certainly see it in people who have had chemotherapy. But when you're looking at metabolically related peripheral neuropathy, they found in a recent article that high-intensity interval training combined with caloric restrictions really improved that painful discomfort of peripheral neuropathy. A lot of times people say, well, there's nothing else you can do for it. And this article was quite interesting from the standpoint that they looked at people who did this high-intensity interval training, and then another group that did caloric restriction, and then the combination of the two really demonstrated significant improvement. And people who have this condition know that it could be quite painful, especially at night when you're trying to sleep. You have this annoying burning pain. You will have what we call paresthesias, where there are these perversions of sensation. You'll feel like something's crawling on your feet when there's nothing there, or feeling that your feet are burning and hot when you touch them and they are not that. So again, some of these symptoms certainly improved with the use of high-intensity training. And that a lot of that has to do with really getting, when we talk about high intensity, we're not talking about becoming an advanced athlete or becoming a Navy SEAL. What we're talking about is really getting your heart rate up as part of the workout. So again, also some people have reported that they got better using yoga, and yoga stretching exercises have helped their peripheral neuropathy. So things to keep in mind. But one topic I really wanted to get to today is sciatica. Now, sciatica is a very general term that's used for any injury to the sciatic nerve. So understand, the sciatic nerve is the largest nerve in the human body. You have two of them, one coming to each side and extending to your lower extremities. And the sciatic nerve starts in the spine. It comes out as nerve roots from the lower lumbar and upper sacral spinal levels. And those nerve roots combine to form the sciatic nerve, which is a large nerve trunk when you think of it. This trunk extends through muscles in your buttocks, the gluteus, and then comes through your hip, extending down your leg, where it goes into forming two other large nerves, the peroneal nerve and the tibial nerve. And so with that anatomy, what we have to think about is how does it get injured? So sciatica being these general symptoms that you will see as a result of injury. And the biggest cause, obviously, comes from your back. So disc disease. You could see this in younger people. You see it in older people where they injure the nerve roots. So right at the origin of the nerve. Mostly in younger people, you'll see it in athletes who weight train and don't use proper form. We'll see it in athletes like football players from tackling and high intensity on these discs. When you think of the disc, it's basically a cartilage, and in the middle of it, there's a soft gelatinous center. So trauma will cause the disc to crack and some of that center, the gelatinous center, to extend out and irritate the disc or irritate the nerve or crush the nerve, causing these symptoms. In older people, it's a result of degenerative disease. So as we age, these discs dry out, and we also see a lot more arthritis in our back between the vertebrae, the bones. Those conditions, again, can pinch the root of the nerve, causing this severe pain radiating down the extremity. So one of the things you have to think about is prevention. How do you prevent this from happening. And obviously, there are things you want to do, and that is getting some pressure off these discs. So weight loss is key. You also want to spend less time sitting. So if you're working in an office, having a situation where you have a sit-to-stand desk where you can stand much of the time, again, will help that from having the extreme pressure of sitting. In addition, a lot of people have to be mindful of their mattresses. We spend a significant amount of time sleeping. And many people don't really look at the mattress they're using. And there's no one mattress to say, okay, this is the best. The best is the one that's most comfortable for you and gives you the most support. But these wear out, right? The mattress will sag and, again, can injure your back and cause symptoms of sciatica. The best treatment is a thorough evaluation. Right, you need to be evaluated by a neurologist or a specialist of some type who deals a lot with the spine and with these injuries. The exam needs to be quite careful from the standpoint of documenting any sensory loss. Right, so if you have an area of numbness in the leg, again, it speaks to injury to the nerve. And also, if you have weakness. And again, these problems, you know, speak to taking care of it more urgently. The best treatments are physical therapy, right? We talked about changing posture, really exercise, proper exercise to loosen up your back. Many people who are former athletes do stretching every morning to really get their back moving and more helpful to loosen it up. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, so Aleve or Advil, are often used and will bring down the inflammation. Some people think, well, I don't want to take a painkiller. These are medications that are not there to mask pain, but they are there to treat the condition to get the inflammation out. So those are the medication things. The other thing, epidural steroid injections, sometimes in more extreme conditions, can help. That's where a physician puts a needle in the back and puts some steroid in there to bring down the swelling that's around the nerve root. Acupuncture is also helpful for some people. So again, these are conservative things that you may want to do to avoid to treat back pain. More than anything. But as we talked about, some of these lifestyle changes like excess, losing some excess weight and regular exercise. But you also, there is a time where surgery may be needed. And those are conditions, one being cauda equina, where multiple nerve roots become involved and can result in difficulty with urination, a lot of numbness in the private areas, and weakness. The weakness is also a big issue. So if suddenly you develop what we call a drop foot, can't bend your foot up, you notice your gait is changing, these are key things to making it a little bit more urgent to intervene for sciatica. And again, if your life is severely impacted by the pain, and by these conditions, so you can't go to work, can't do the things you like to do, then surgery may be an option. And there are many different types of surgery. We've had physicians come on, most notably Dr. Scott Malozzi has been a guest on the program, talking about some of the surgical options, of which there are many, including a simple discectomy, as opposed to discectomy infusion, where they put hardware in. So there are a lot of different ways. Artificial discs are also an option. So we'll keep that in mind. I think the biggest thing is now with the holidays, right, we're doing a lot of lifting. We're getting ready for winter. Even today, people are out shoveling. Again, if you have to shovel snow, just try to do it in the proper way. Lift in the proper way with your legs rather than bending over, and be very careful from that standpoint. So we're going to take a short break. They're going to be back with my guest, Dr. Catherine Coyner. And today we are talking about the program of which she is the co-director, the Women's Center for Motion and Performance at the University of Connecticut. Again, if you have questions for me, you can reach me at info@alessimd.com. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080. We're back on Healthy Rounds. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce my guest today, Dr. Catherine Coyner. Dr. Coyner is an associate professor in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at the University of Connecticut. She is co-director of the program we're going to chat a little bit about today, the Women's Center for Motion and Performance at the University of Connecticut. She's also a team physician for the University of Connecticut, and I can go on and on. She is director of the fellowship program as well at the University of Connecticut, and I'm proud to say she's one of my partners in private practice, in practice at the university. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dr. Alessi. I very much appreciate it.
Let's chat a little bit. Your background, how you got involved, in orthopedic surgery, and more specifically, your interest in women's health in motion and performance.
Yeah, thank you. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, obviously, and what a lot of people don't recognize is that women only make up about 7% of all orthopedic surgeons. So when I was in medical school, I played college basketball at UMass. I was exposed to, team physicians and orthopedics, and I really knew going into medical school that that's what I wanted to do. I didn't know the statistics that it was very hard as a woman because we don't have great mentors. It's been a very male-dominated field for a very long time. So as I approached residency, I actually didn't know those statistics, so I just knew I wanted to be a surgeon. I, figured out a way to do it. So I've always understood that I probably have a bigger role in not just being an orthopedic surgeon, but sort of helping the next generation. I also do a lot of educational programs to expose young females to medicine and specifically male-dominated fields. And then with Dr. Schaefer is the other co-director. She's one of our primary care sports medicine doctors at UConn, and both of us played college basketball. So with sort of understanding that females in general have higher incidences of a lot of musculoskeletal injuries, for example, 8 times more likely to tear their ACL, patellofemoral pain syndrome, osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, joint degeneration. We can go on and on about those things. And a lot of times patients want to see doctors that look like them. And unfortunately, in orthopedics, we don't necessarily have that. So we created the Women's Center for Motion and Performance. It's been a brainchild for a long time, but it actually, the go live date was April of 2024. And we're very proud to be servicing the Farmington Valley and really becoming a center of excellence for not only Connecticut, but New England in general.
I'm going to take a step backwards because I didn't realize the percentage of women in orthopedic surgery was so small. Now, I know we've discussed in the past, and I don't know if you still have it, you had a specific program where you had young women come into the department and spend a weekend going over what's involved in orthopedic surgery. Do you still do that? Can you talk a little bit about that program for some of our listeners who may have children or grandchildren who want to become involved in that?
Yes, so we have a program. It's called IWEM, I-W-E-M, all capital, and it stands for Inspiring Women in Engineering and Medicine. And basically, exactly like you said, it's a targeted for high school students that identify as female, mainly through the 10th through the 12th grades, and they come to campus and our Musculoskeletal Institute. They hear from myself about what it's like to be an orthopedic surgeon. Also, I have tons of volunteers that come from medical students to physical therapists to APRNs and just sort of tell them all about medicine. And basically, they do 3 skill stations, which are typically they learn how to suture. They use drills and saws to fix fake bones with plates and screws, just like we would fix a fracture. And Then the third one, which is really cool, is they go into our bioskills lab and they get to scope a model knee, but all the instruments they're scoping with is exactly what we use in the operating room. Our next date for that is actually February 22nd. So it's become very competitive. We nearly get about 300 applications, and we can usually accommodate about 100 students each session. So we do that three times a year. And actually, I'm very excited because this February will be our 1,000th student that we've educated across the state of Connecticut.
Wow. Wow. Impressive. I'm glad we got that in. When we're talking about percentage.
The application is on drcoiner.com. And then under Inspiring Physicians, and then they can click on IWIM, and that application will open.
Perfect. Perfect. I hope people take advantage of that. What percentage of your patients in general, or maybe in orthopedic patients, are women?
You know, the population is about 50%. So I don't think this isn't saying that we only see women and that we target, you know, we really... all that come to us, you know, I see regular male patients as well. What we're trying to do here is just really empower women to maintain an active lifestyle through every stage of their life. We are by no means, you know, when people think of sports medicine, and, you know, Dr. Schaefer and I and everybody at UConn are very fortunate. We get to take care of all the UConn athletes and all the amazing athletes that, you know, people know as household names. But this is to target just active women of all ages and however they identify that activity level, whether that's playing with their grandkids and their shoulder bothers them, or whether that's a high school athlete that wants to increase their performance. So it's really about giving them personalized patient-centered care that meets their specific health and fitness goals and to get them back to what they want to do.
Are women less likely to seek orthopedic care than men?
They are less likely to be offered surgical treatment at times, even in the situation where there's a standardized patient in research studies where they have arthritis at the same level as a man. Sometimes they are less likely to be offered that surgery, even though in general they have typical worse arthritis in the female population. And I think, you know, a little bit of that is because we don't have enough diversity in orthopedics as the surgeons themselves, and you know, sometimes females can present differently, and I think that's where we have established a strong team that provides this collaborative care. And we're not all women that are participating in the Women's Center of Motion Performance, but we all have a passion of taking care of female patients.
Is our department at the University of Connecticut an exception or the rule? Because we have a fair number of female physicians in our department. Are we an exception to that when you look at it nationally?
Yes, that we are definitely outgrown the statistics of 7%. And we also, you know, Dr. Ganey and Dr. Lindsay, who is our leadership for our residency, we really pride ourselves in recruiting a diverse aspect in both gender, race, from a different, you know, environment, because we know that that's what's going to help orthopedics sort of be propelled into the future.
Kathy, when we look at women's injuries in orthopedics, you know, we always hear, listen, we watch female basketball players tear their ACLs all the time. Are there certain injuries that women are more prone to than men from an orthopedic standpoint?
Yeah, ACL tears are, you know, obviously the most well-known example, but also patellofemoral pain as well as patellofemoral instability, meaning if your kneecap dislocates, you know, young women are at higher risk of recurrence of that. Even our knee arthritis is higher. Osteoporosis, obviously, as we age, our bone mineral density becomes an issue. That's where we have, you know, one of our partners is the osteoporosis and bone health department. So we can really try to better focus on collaborative care. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think also concussion may be more common in women.
And actually it takes longer for women to recover in terms of concussion care. So you're on target with that. What about rehabilitation? Does it take women any longer than men to recover from injury overall?
I wouldn't say that it takes longer, but I think that, you know, having rehab that's tailored to the specific needs of each patient, and sometimes that can be gender related. You know, one of the reasons that, you know, women have a higher risk of ACL injuries are just anatomically how we're made. You know, we have wider hips. We have a little bit more knocked knees, which is valgus alignment. And when we jump and land, we jump differently. So in our ACL prevention programs, you know, they're targeted at young women so we can teach them to jump a little bit differently to try to prevent injuries. And then as they're rehabbing injuries, that's where I think a team like UConn, where we have the experience of really rehabbing really high level athletes, that then transitions to the general population. And, you know, one of our partners in this is our physical therapy department, where we are all part of this collaborative team.
What's the most common thing you see in the Women's Center, in your experience with the Women's Center for Motion and Performance?
Yeah, you know, so, Tony, just to be honest, obviously, you know, we want to get out into the population. And as a surgeon, I love to operate on things. And I love, you know, the injuries that need operations. But if you look at our data right now, we've had almost 1,000 appointments. We've had 997 appointments, and we've only had 15 surgeries. So what that's telling us is that a lot of people are coming to us for non-operative things, which, again, historically is not something that is necessarily tied to orthopedics. But with all of our non-operative team members that we have, like Dr. Schaefer, physical therapy, we are able to, I think, address a need that maybe have gone overlooked for a while. So Dr. Schaefer sees a lot of overuse injuries, stress-related injuries, chronic knee pain, because a lot of this is women that maybe once were active, even like myself. You know, yes, I played high-level college basketball, but unfortunately due to, you know, professional and personal sort of time constraints, I don't work out a lot. And some people that didn't have those experiences may not even know where to begin if they want to get motivated to get to a healthier lifestyle, especially as we're talking about January 1st and New Year's resolutions. This is something that Dr. Schaefer sort of specializes in. She even does what's called exercise prescription from a physician standpoint to help you get back and get on a road, whether or not you have sort of, you know, chronic knee pain, and then to be able to modify those exercises so their knee is not being exacerbated while you're doing certain things.
I have a question that just came up from Patricia. She is a swimmer. And are there certain swim strokes that are safer for older women to be doing as opposed to others?
Yeah, so typically we would evaluate. I mean, if someone doesn't have shoulder pain, I don't think there's any restriction in regards to what stroke they can do. Now, if they do, say, have some rotator cuff type impingement pain, meaning some pain with overhead, then we could modify that. And that's where we have physical therapists that, you know, I'm extremely well-versed in basketball since that was my sport, but they really have a knowledge of so many sports. They impress me on a daily basis, and they can work with her to be able to modify what strokes seem to be provoking her injury. And then as she rehabs, hopefully, you know, our goal is to have everybody do the activity that they want to do and not be limited by a certain, stroke due to their pain.
It brings me to the question, are there certain exercises or sports that you encourage women to be doing more of as they advance in age? So when you and Dr. Schaefer evaluate somebody, and I like that term, an exercise prescription, how do you like to see them getting back in a safe way?
Yeah, so we know, you know, from a osteoporosis and bone density situation, any movement and exercise is good. Now, we don't expect, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not a runner. And I would say, okay, well, actually, that's okay, because the impact of running, if you haven't done it, or if you have knee complaints or hip complaints, there's other activities. I mean, if you haven't done anything, just walking is a great way to start. We can also get you on an upright bike if it's nice in Connecticut, you know, and they have the balance to do so. They could get outside on an outside bike. There's elliptical, there's swimming, you know, there's aqua aerobics that people can do. So it's really just finding what fits what fits their desires. And that's when Dr. Schaefer sits down with them, really explores sort of their medical history, their musculoskeletal complaints, and then what they have access to, because that's another real limitation at times. Not everybody has access to a gym with a pool. So really exploring those options.
Are pool therapies and pool a key item? Because, I mean, a lot of times you'll see a doctor that says, well, you can get back into the pool, but it's not that common to find a pool here in the Northeast. Is that because of the buoyancy and less pressure on joints? Is that why they often suggest pool therapy and pool-type activity?
Yeah, exactly. So we're limiting the impact and the weight-bearing aspect of that. But you are absolutely correct. To my knowledge, really, there's only very few facilities that have pool access. Now, a lot of health clubs may have the ability to do it, so they could get a home exercise program and then do it in the pool.
I had an interesting request the other day, and I was over at Mohegan Sun for the basketball tournaments, and one of the teams requested the ice bath. They wanted an ice bath. We didn't have one available, so we gave them a bunch of ice and told them to throw it in the tub. But this comes up a lot. Is there benefit to the ice bath after working out?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you have any inflammation or swelling, you know, we recommend ice. I think in the general population, people don't usually submerge themselves in an ice bath, but that is a very common practice in high-level athletics, that even players that aren't having an active problem feel that it sort of rejuvenates them to be able to practice the next day. And then also when they do have some complaints, it helps that inflammation and swelling.
Okay. Only because I was just wondering if there's real benefit or it's just become a thing, as you know, in sports.
Well, I think when you do have inflammation, it definitely can decrease that swelling.
Okay. Okay, so there's some purpose to it.
Correct.
I mean, when we spend time in professional locker rooms now, right, we have light therapy, we've got float tanks, we've got hyperbaric oxygen, we've got a lot of different things going on, but at least you'd like to see something that is clearly of benefit. When you developed the program, what is the goal of the program? Itself? Or is it to get women more active or just to provide a resource for women with orthopedic injuries?
Really both. You know, I think it's to provide a experienced healthcare center that is efficient, because what we do is say your wife has knee pain. So she would call our nurse navigator, and her name is Kayla. And I think this is a really big key. And especially when you're dealing with a health center like UConn, you no longer have to sort of call this call center and you get routed to multiple different people. And maybe you show up to the appointment and unfortunately that person doesn't really, you know, specialize in the problem that you have. And then you have to make another appointment and then you get a physical therapy script and then you have to call and make that appointment. But maybe the line was busy and then no one ever calls you back. And it's sort of a bit fragmented care. So with Kayla and the nurse navigator, our patients are all routed through them. So she really has touch points. You know, if patients are into texting, she can text them sort of motivational things, checking in on them and really empowering them to know that we are invested in their improvement of their complaint. And then from that, you know, they would likely see Dr. Schaefer or I, depending on what the complaint is. And then, you know, I mean, high school athletes, they tear their ACL. This is a huge change in their identity as young athletes, and mental health is really important. So we sort of do a primary screening and talk to them, and if they're under 18, talk to their parents to see if they may want to see our psychiatrist that is specializing in female athletes, especially with recovery to injury, and then we can get them plugged in immediately to her, and that appointment is done through Kayla. And simultaneously in that same patient, say they just tore their ACL and their range of motion is sort of poor. So then we would get them scheduled into prehab with Karen, our physical therapist that sort of specializes in our female athletes. And then immediately we have this big working plan that's all collaborative, and patients really feel, they embrace that because they feel more empowered for their, own healthcare at that point in time.
You know, I hear it time and again, and really having a nurse navigator really becomes a crucial part of the team. And I believe the phone number, let me get that in there for the program, and I think this would go to Kayla, 860-679-6330. Is that right, Kathy?
Yep, she will answer the phone. If she doesn't answer, leave a message, and she will definitely call you back. She does an initial triage with you to see who you would best be scheduled for.
What's your future direction for the program? Where do you want to go next?
So I really think that, we have built ourselves on these three pillars. And the first one that we're really focusing on is patient care. The second one is education, which we talked about IWIM. I also have a lot of medical school programs that sort of highlight and educate female physicians and more male-dominated specialties like orthopedics. And the last one is gender-specific research. So that is one that, I see us focusing in, partnering with the Institute of Sports Medicine here at UConn Health to really improve, orthopedic care nationally. Because if you look at a lot of the studies, they don't separate males from females and outcomes and surgical procedures or graft types. So really delving into some of that can definitely be, the next 5 to 10 years, I think you're going to see an abundance of that in our literature.
What do you think what's something our listeners should know that they may not know about this topic? We've got about a couple of minutes left. And where's the future going in relation to women in orthopedic surgery and their care or orthopedics in general?
Yeah, I think what I want people to know is that we're here. We have the very fortunate opportunity to take care of UConn women's basketball and all the Division I sports at UConn. And the things that we are exposed to and we learn from those very high-level athletes, we get to implement on our everyday patients. So we are the experts. And if you're looking to have a musculoskeletal injury addressed, come to the experts. I always say that, your health is our passion. Not everybody wants to treat, this patient population, but this is where our passion lies, and we are going to personalize your care and help you get back to doing the things that you've identified as your priority in your life.
Kathy, thank you. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for setting up this program again for our listeners. If you wish to contact Dr. Coyner and Kayla, the nurse manager at the Women's Center for Motion and Performance, the phone number is 860-679-6330. Kathy, thanks again.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back to wrap things up. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080. Many thanks to our studio producer, Kevin Kors, has been on the board. As always, Jeff Chandler is in charge of sales and marketing for Healthy Rounds. Next week on Healthy Rounds, we will be here live chatting with you about questions. And if there are topics you would like to bring up during the week, you could reach out to me at info@alessimd.com. If you missed any part of today's program, you can download the podcast at odyssey.com or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up on WTIC is going to be Law Talk with Attorney John Matulis. At this point, this will be our last show before Christmas, and I want to take time to wish everyone a wonderful Christmas holiday. And with that, until next week, this is Dr. Anthony Alessi. Please stay healthy.
This has been Healthy Rounds with Dr. Anthony Alessi, sponsored by Hartford Healthcare, Rochford Eye Center, St. Francis Hospital, Covaris, and UConn Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Be sure to tune in next Saturday morning at 11 for more Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com. Till then, stay well.